This is Matt Wells at UN News. Well, over 2,500 migrants and refugees have been forced to sleep rough in Bosnia-Herzegovina for several weeks on the European Union's doorstep, despite the fact that suitable sheltered accommodation is available. In an interview with UN News' Daniel Johnson, Peter Auerert, chief of mission in Bosnia for the UN Migration Agency IOM, describes the difficulties of trying to find a quick solution to this urgent problem. He also explains why it's so important that all countries abide by their international commitments to helping vulnerable people in line with the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly and Regular Migration, adopted by a majority of UN member states in December 2018.
Bosnia-Herzegovina has been a transit country for migrants from Greece trying to reach other parts of the European Union since January 2018. We've had a perennial problem of a lack of accommodation in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Each winter we face similar type of challenges, but this year the challenge is actually larger because we have 2,500 out of the 8,500 migrants and refugees in Bosnia-Herzegovina sleeping in inhumane conditions. The reason for this is the inability of the Bosnian political system, if you want, to decide where accommodation should be. Because ironically or cynically, if you want, we actually do have sufficient spaces in two centers that we could open within 24 hours. But because of political resistance at the local level in two locations, this is not happening. So it's not a matter of assistance. It's not a matter of money, but it is a matter of political decision making, which obviously now is very urgent because the winter conditions are getting worse as we speak.
So you say that there's a problem of administrative procedure and there's also local opposition to housing the migrants. So that's a very difficult position for you to be in. But as you say, the immediate problem is really urgent because it's so cold. And the camp the Lipa emergency tent camp, burned down after being closed because it wasn't suitable for migrants. It didn't have any electricity, water. So what exactly is the UN Migration Agency managing to do to help these people?
Well, we're certainly pursuing a two-track approach, if you like. On the one hand, we have increased our humanitarian assistance to people sleeping outside, winterized jackets, winterized sleeping bags, food packages. We work together with our partners, the Danish Refugee Council and the Red Cross, to try to cover everyone. While that is somehow reducing the human suffering, it obviously does not provide an answer to the need for humane accommodation. What the other part of the work we're trying to do is we're trying to support the authorities at different levels to come together and to build a consensus as to where this new accommodation could be. So these are the two efforts, but you're sort of stuck in as a UN agency in the sense that while we have the resources, it's not up to IOM or any other UN agency to decide where migrant accommodation should be. That is really up to the sovereign country, in this case, Bosnia-Herzegovina, to decide. I cannot just go to a building and say, okay, this is now a migrant accommodation. So we're very much dependent on the local political process. And while you can support, while you can bring in ideas, while you can try to bring people together, at the end of the day, you're dependent on local political decisions.
Has the opposition to migration and migrants in Bosnia been growing? We're not talking about tens of thousands of people by any means, are we?
No, we are talking about today in the country, I would estimate about 8,500 migrants and refugees in a country of 3.5 million inhabitants. That is not a large crisis by any stretch of the imagination. There are two issues there. First, migrants tend to be located in two parts of the country, Kanton Sarajevo and Unasana Kanton. And the frustration, specifically in Unasana Kanton, is a sense of being left alone and not having a sort of a national strategy, if you like, of spreading these accommodation centers out across the country. When it comes to the local population, my sense is that there is a small minority that is very vocal on Facebook and on other social media channels, sometimes using very xenophobic language. My sense is, however, that if you look at the majority of people, they may not have wanted Bosnia to become a country for transit migration, but they do agree that while the migrants are in country, that they should be taken care of properly.
Absolutely. And I'm just wondering what it is that the UN Migration Agency needs to happen. Obviously, you want to relocate these migrants. And for the most part, they're young men, aren't they? Where are they from?
Well, in terms of the solution is relatively straightforward from a humanitarian operational perspective. We need additional accommodation in structures that are adequate for the winter. I think that's, in terms of the solution, where we need to go. In terms of the makeup of the migrant and refugee population here, we have about 80% single males and 20% families with children and unaccompanied children, usually boys between 16 and 18. For these families and children, we have sufficient accommodation. So we don't have any families with children or unaccompanied or separated children sleeping outside. The challenge faces itself with the single males. In terms of nationalities, the biggest group is Pakistan, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, North Africa, and Iraq. That is the makeup of the population that we currently have here.
And what do they tell you, these young men? Why have they come to Europe?
Well, they've come to Europe. Of course, individual circumstances differ, but most of them have come to Europe to look for a better life. Some are fleeing conflict, like the ones in Afghanistan, but many of them are looking simply to go to a place within the European Union, start working and send money back to their family. That is sort of the story you almost universally hear.
And I know that you've spoken before, but maybe it's worth repeating. Some of these young men are feeling terrible personal torment because they're having to tell their families that everything's going well, but in fact, it's not going easily at all. And I understand some have been refusing food.
Well, yes. I mean, I think that, you know, when people embark upon these journeys, there is a certain image that they have of what will happen. And I think a lot of young guys have told me that the journey was much harder than they would expect it. But there is this point of no return when you have spent 10,000 euros from your family's money. And often the family has had to sell land or other things to get that money. And you're in Bosnia, well, you no longer really have a choice to go back, because the family, if you go back now, your family is poorer than when you left. So there is a lot of pressure on these guys to actually make sure that they send back money to their families. And often they don't tell the truth about the difficult conditions they're living in, because their family, their parents, their brothers and sisters would get worried. So they also have this personal pressure of having to present a picture that is not really true. So that is, takes also its toll from a mental health perspective. There's no question about that.
Are you aware of traffickers making the most of this situation, this impasse, this blockage in Bosnia-Herzegovina on the European Union's doorstep?
When it comes to smugglers, I mean, all migrants I would say 95% that are here have used smugglers at some point of their journey. And of course, as is always the case, if it becomes more difficult to cross the borders, the smugglers ask for more money. So there is no question that a lot of money is being made of smuggling migrants towards Europe. And once they are inside Europe, as they were in Greece, towards other parts of the European Union. So there are criminal networks that are benefiting from this. There is no question about that. And that is, you have two types of things. You have international criminal networks, but you also have local, much smaller criminal networks that are involved in this. And then sometimes you have local people that see an opportunity and charge migrants 20 times more to take a taxi from A to B, for example, if they need to be brought to the border. So there's a whole range of people in the illegal and the grey economy that are benefiting from this movement. There's no question about that.
Does Bosnia-Herzegovina have the means to look after migrants?
Well, Bosnia-Herzegovina as a country in by itself, the answer would be no. But it's very important to emphasize that all the humanitarian assistance that has been provided to migrants, the costs of setting up the accommodation centers that we have, the costs of running those accommodation centers for migrants, ensuring their access to basic services, including health services, has all been paid for and continues to be paid for by the European Union. So there are no resources that are requested from the country. It is more a matter of political decisions on accommodation that we're looking for at the moment.
I see. So there are the means there. My last question to you is really related to that. What is the international community doing to help ease the plight of so many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of migrants around the world and people who are in need of international protection? Because we have the Global Compact for safe, orderly, and regular migration, which was agreed by a majority of UN member states at the end of 2018, I believe. So did Bosnia sign this agreement? And what are you expecting as the UN agency for migration from the international community to do something about this, given that it is, I don't know, below freezing outside today and over 1,000 migrants are in a very difficult position, as you're explaining?
Well, I mean, I think two things. I think we should, as the international community, to continue to provide material assistance to the country and in the country to reduce the suffering of the migrants that are outside and to make sure that those are inside have access to proper services. The other part, and the international community has very much been engaged here in the past couple of weeks and months, frankly, is to continue to collectively try to bring the different levels of Bosnian authorities and different, you know, political actors at the central level together to try to do two things. On the one hand, to forge a consensus on the very short-term solution, meaning setting up additional accommodation, but also to forge a consensus on how we're going to manage as a country this transit migration in the next 2 or 3 years if this continues, because we cannot remain in a situation whereby each year when the winter comes, we have this type of humanitarian crisis unfolding, which is what we've had. So I think it's important to have these two things, material assistance and political work, to support it, to make sure indeed that, that as you point out, that Bosnia-Herzegovina lives up to its international commitments and also in line with its ambitions to become an EU member state. For example, to do things like improving its asylum process, which I know the colleagues of UNHCR here in Bosnia-Herzegovina are working on.
Peter van der Auwert, Chief of Mission for the International Organization for Migration, the UN Migration Agency. Many thanks for your time today.